Some of you may have seen in the Christian Chronicle, if you read it in paper or online. Christian Chronicle is a Church of Christ newspaper nationally and internationally. Our congregation was profiled in an article published online on July 21st. I think it came out in the August edition, print edition. Maybe it was July. The title of the article is COVID-19 Hits Churches Hard. And you can find that article, by the way, on the church's website. We have a link to it on the homepage. Well, we were interviewed, a couple of us here in this church, told how our congregation's doing. They contacted some folks from some other churches around the country trying to get a snapshot of how Churches of Christ are doing across the country. And we reported that we were doing well. A few of our members had been sick, but all had recovered at that point, although one had since passed away due to old age. That article really touched me because we reported we were doing well, but the first church mentioned in that article has had a rough time, the Oakland Church of Christ in the Detroit area. They had not been as lucky as we had been. They lost one of their sisters in the church very early on in the pandemic. A brother in the church thought that the virus was a hoax until he caught it, and he became very sick, was sick for 2 months, and at the time the article was published, he was still relearning how to walk. And then they had a member who was a funeral director also, who at the time when this was published reported that he had been conducting 6 funerals a day for a while because so many people were passing away in the Detroit area at that time. They had a really tough time. There was another church, the Broken Arrow Church of Christ in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma, where the minister and his adult son both got sick. And they both recovered quickly, but even 4 months later, their symptoms were still hanging on. Well, this article really touched me because while we've done quite well and have been very blessed, some of our sister churches have been hit pretty hard, which told me at that time that this danger is real and it is serious, even if we can't always see it. And if we can't see it, then thank God for that, right? If we can't see the danger before our eyes, then we are blessed. That's a good thing. Well, this series of lessons is called Lessons from a Virus. And so what I'm doing in this series is taking things that I've been thinking about over the last 6 months that have to do with this virus, and expanding on those to look at issues that relate to theology and Christian living. So lessons we've learned from the virus now applied to the Christian life. Today's lesson begins with this thought. As God's people, we're called to be aware of needs that we cannot always see with our eyes. Just because all is fine for me does not necessarily mean that all is fine. Just because all is well with me doesn't mean that God is fine with me failing to notice the needs of those for whom all is not well. As followers of Jesus, we are called to see the situations and needs of people around us and then to respond with compassion. My text this morning is Matthew chapter 25, beginning in verse 31, something that Jesus taught us. Matthew 25, verse 31. When the Son of Man comes in His glory, and all the angels with Him, He will sit down on His glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on His right and the goats on His left. Then the King will say to those on His right, "Come, you who are blessed by My Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? The king will reply, Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. Then he will say to those on his left, Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me. They also will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you? He will reply, Truly I tell you, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me. Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. Well, this teaching is about what will happen on the great judgment day. Jesus, the Son of Man, comes in glory with the angels. He sits on his glorious throne and he begins to separate the righteous from the unrighteous. And as he speaks, he starts with a great reward for the righteous, an inheritance, the kingdom prepared for the righteous by God since the creation of the world. And at the end of his teaching, he calls this inheritance eternal life. The key mark of the righteous in this teaching is that they care for the needs of people whom Jesus calls these brothers and sisters of mine. In fact, he calls them the least of these brothers and sisters of mine. Well, who are these people, the brothers and sisters of Jesus? Well, this is a common biblical term for fellow believers. We see this throughout the New Testament, that fellow believers are called brothers and sisters, even of Jesus. So we're talking about fellow believers, to be sure. But Jesus seems to be going beyond that also. Sometimes in the book of Matthew, Jesus uses the term brother or brothers and sisters to refer to anyone we interact with. For example, in Matthew chapter 7, where he says, Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? This teaching would clearly apply not only to how we treat our brothers and sisters in the faith, but also people around us in the community. It really applies to everyone, not just believers. And so we might say this teaching in Matthew 25 applies to anyone, certainly to other believers, but also to anyone Jesus would want to claim as a brother or sister in Christ. In fact, the way we treat our brothers and sisters in Christ usually is a pretty good indication of how we treat people outside the body of Christ as well. And so the way we treat others is the way we treat Jesus, especially when we're talking about how we treat believers, but also the way we treat anyone. When you treat others with compassion and meet their needs, you treat Jesus with compassion and you meet his needs. And when he comes one day and sits on his glorious throne, he will declare you blessed by God the Father. And he will invite you to come and receive the inheritance that has been prepared for you since the creation of the world, the kingdom prepared for you. Because you saw those in need and you responded with compassion for the sake of Jesus. In verses 41 to 46, the Son of Man turns and decrees punishment for those who do not show compassion by meeting the needs of others. They are cursed and sent into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Have you ever wondered why God made hell? I mean, why would God make hell? Jesus says it was prepared for the devil and his angels. It was to be their punishment. Well, why would the Son of Man on the Day of Judgment send people into that same eternal fire? Well, it's because they failed to show compassion by meeting the needs of others. And so they failed to show compassion to Jesus and meet his needs. Just as caring for the needs of others is a personal gift to Jesus, so failure to care for the needs of others is a personal offense against Jesus. The way we treat others is the way we treat Jesus. These unrighteous people are punished forever. Why? What was their crime? Well, they saw, but they did not act, or they did not go to the effort to see. I find this teaching from Jesus to be a little bit haunting. What haunts me about it is that I might catch myself doing this sometimes. Like when I get tired of all the concern about the virus and I start feeling like, well, I don't personally know anyone who's all that sick. And I don't personally know anyone who's died from this virus, thank God. So what's the big deal? And I begin to lack compassion for those for whom the virus is and has been a very big deal. What if I see people in need but don't act? What if I don't even go to the effort to see? A lot of people who would normally have plenty to eat are hungry right now through no fault of their own because they're out of a job, because their workplace has been shut down for now. But maybe I thank God for my food and don't even think about those people. Out of sight, out of mind. As of a couple of years ago, Yakima County had about 600 children in foster care and not enough homes and foster parents for them all. These are some of the most vulnerable people in our community. The best estimate I've found so far is that at any given time in our county, there might be 25 or so children who are in the foster care system and need adoption. But my own children have a great home. They have a great home. I think they have a great home. They're here with us this morning. So why should the plight of these other children bother me? I don't think I know any children in foster care or needing adoption. Out of sight, out of mind. Maybe you know someone who is in prison. Out of sight, out of mind. We have a number of homeless folks in our city, including too many homeless teenagers. But I don't think I know any homeless people personally. Out of sight, out of mind. Maybe there's someone in your circle of relationships who's going through a tough time in their marriage or has recently been through a divorce. But it's hard to have the emotional energy to help someone else when we're going through our own troubles. So, out of sight, out of mind. But in our text this morning, I hear Jesus asking two questions of the unrighteous. He asks, "Why didn't you see me?" Or he asks, "If you saw me, why didn't you show compassion? For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not. I was sick, and you did not. I was in prison, and you did not. And you did not. And you did not." Well, why didn't they do? Either they didn't see, or they saw, but had no compassion. And I know none of us can do everything, but I think Jesus calls each of us to do something. There are people out there who are sick with the virus, and many have already lost loved ones to it. Will we see? Will we do anything? There are people who are genuinely hungry and thirsty. Do we care? There are people who have no one who would show them hospitality. People who need good clothes for the winter. People who are in prison and need someone to communicate with them just to let them know they care. Do we? What haunts me is the thought that there is someone out there God is calling me to help in the name of Jesus. But I might be so content and comfortable in the good life that God has given me, for which I'm very grateful. Or I might be so caught up in my own troubles that I just quietly keep these others out of sight, out of mind. And this haunts me, not just because I don't want to face eternal punishment, but also because I really do love Jesus our Lord, who died for me. And if I refused to do for other people what Jesus did for me, I would dishonor my King. He died for me on the cross. That's why I love him so much. He who was in very nature God did not consider equality with God something to be held on to, but made himself nothing, taking the very form of a servant, being born as a human being, living and dying to pay for our sins and bring us to God in the hope that we might be able to enjoy life with our Creator now and forever. For this purpose, for us, he gave his life. If he who is our King loved us so much, doesn't he have the right as King, as our Savior, to expect us to show compassion for others the way he showed compassion for us? So this text haunts me. But even more, it thrills me. It thrills me because Jesus teaches here that when we do step outside ourselves and we notice someone who needs help and in compassion we help them, we are performing an act of eternal value, an act that touches the heart of Jesus our Lord himself. And to those who do such things for him, Jesus will give that inheritance God has prepared for us. So I have somewhat accidentally over the years developed this habit in my prayers. Often when I thank God for all his kindness to me, it's become a natural next step for me to ask him, Lord, you've been so good to me. What else can I do to show you how grateful I am? Is there someone you want to send me to help? And I know none of us can help with all the wide variety of needs out there. I can't spend my day feeding the hungry and visiting the sick and visiting the prisoner and clothing the needy and hosting the stranger and there simply isn't time. But God, what is one thing you would like for me to do? Open my eyes to it. Let me see it. Move my heart to care about it and my will to pursue it. Don't let it be out of sight, out of mind. I don't want to miss a chance to serve Jesus, my Lord, who died for me. This virus has reminded me that when I'm doing fine, some people have it a lot worse than I do, even if I can't see them in front of me. And God calls me to notice and to care and to act. So I want you to do whatever God gives you to do to help someone in need. And if God gives you multiple options, as he often does, choose one. If he's given you many options and you choose one and you do it, that will be pleasing to God. And if you need some starter ideas, here are a few. A lot of people are still out of work and need food. We'll be picking apples at our house this coming Saturday and next week. It's our joy to give those away to Northwest Harvest, just so we can help feed the hungry in the name of Jesus. If you're physically able and God puts it on your heart and you'd like to come out for an hour or two and help with that, we would love for you to help pick with us. Our church supports Love Inc. here in our community in their work of helping families break out of the cycle of poverty. They've told us they need donations of clothing for men and boys in particular right now. You may have seen that in last week's bulletin. Maybe you could help clothe those who need clothing. You can drop off your donation at the Love Inc. office or right here at our church office, and we'll take those gifts into them. Already, part of your gifts to the church go to support Mountain States Children's Home in Colorado, New Mexico Christian Children's Home in New Mexico, Little Hands, Big Hearts in Honduras, and Rod's House right here in Yakima. All of these ministries help vulnerable children. Already, some in our church have adopted a child or are involved in the lives of vulnerable children at your work or in your home or in your extended family, and you love these children just as you love Jesus. Some of you, I know, reach out quietly to people in prison or who have been in prison recently, and you help them where you're able. That's a difficult ministry and an honorable one. Some of you care for elderly parents or grandparents, putting your profound love for Jesus into action. All of this is the kind of thing Jesus is calling us to do in this teaching. And this whole lesson is intended to encourage us to just be sensitive to the needs of others, and more so, and to help them, and to do this sort of thing increasingly, so that one day Jesus can say to us, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." Just don't let us see people in need around us and fail to act. Don't let us fail to make an effort to see. Our Lord, who came to save us, calls us not only to see the needs around us, but in fact to go looking for them, just as he went looking for us, like a shepherd looks for his lost sheep. Not just to show compassion toward the people God has already brought into our lives, but also to go out in search of people to whom we can show the love of God in Jesus' name. When we step outside our own comfort zone to serve sacrificially, to help someone in need, we do for them what Jesus did for us. And then Jesus, our Lord, is honored. When we help them, we help him. So keep your eyes open to see. Keep your heart open to care. Keep your hands open to help where you're able. Go and do something to help someone for the sake of Jesus. And may God bless you. Let's pray together. Lord God, we first of all are grateful for Jesus, who sought us out and who saw our need and who gave his life to save us and to bring us to you, our God, to give us this wonderful inheritance, the kingdom that has been prepared for us since the creation of the world. Lord, we yearn for that day when Jesus will come again and that inheritance will begin. Lord, we thank you for that promise. And we pray in step with the teaching of Jesus here that we would today, this week, this year, live in a way that pleases Jesus our Lord, that as he saw our need and helped us sacrificially, we also might see the needs of others and help them. Dear Lord, give us eyes to see and hearts to care and hands to serve. Bless your church, Lord, that we individually might be able to serve others in need, and that we together might be able to do so much more to serve some of the needs here in our community. And Lord, as we serve in this community, we pray that your name would be glorified, that you would be praised, that more and more hearts would turn to you, Lord, as they see your people serving the needs that are out there in our community. Lord, bless us in this way. Thank you so much for Jesus who gave his life for us. We honor him today as our Lord and King, and we devote ourselves to you once again this week. In Jesus' name, amen.